tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Sandra. Welcome back to Tip Today, 1800 938 007. Now, we heard the remarkable story from Kieran Lyons earlier on, living a life of disability, I suppose, caused by the drug thalidomide. Well, huge response to this. And again, let me just bring you some of it. Davies in Clonmel, and he says, I know Kieran personally, and I'm lucky to call him a good friend. He's a remarkable man who's never let anything get him down. He's entertained us all as a top-class DJ and photographer, a man of great wit and intelligence, and he's something of a darts player as well, which goes to show his courage and his determination. He's never let anything hold him back, and now he has a new career as a budding poet with his poem Broken. It is, in my uneducated opinion, a masterpiece in its own right. The man is an inspiration to anybody who feels they can't do something or other, as he overcame obstacles that most will never face in 100 lifetimes. That's Davy in Clonmel. Pat in Ross Gray says, Kieran comes across as a wonderful person, and he goes on to be complimentary to me too. Thank you very much for that, Pat. And he says he was just one of so many victims of state blunders on that. And another person on to say, Fran, I knew Kieran many years ago, especially when he was doing gigs as a DJ. I never gave his disability a second glance. He was Kieran. He was a very likeable guy, and his mother also a very strong woman indeed. Now, the other Kieran who came on afterwards to talk about mask wearing, James in New Inn, was on to us about that, and he says, I'm fairly sure he put across the most cohesive argument against government COVID policies that I've heard on your show. Good on him, says James in New Inn. That's all into us on 083 311 3311.
Legal discussion on Tip Today is brought to you in association with Lynch Solicitors Clonmel, on the web at lynchsolicitors.ie and at divorceinireland.com.
And I'm glad to be joined now online by John Lynch from Lynch Solicitors. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Good to talk to you today. You're going to talk to us about rights of way, always very controversial indeed, particularly in this country, I think, John. Is that fair to say?
Internationally as well, I think. I don't think it's exclusive to Ireland. I mean, I think it's still a classic of, you know, people exercising rights over other people's property, and, you know, it's like anything else, you know. You know, what is yours, and you're very slow to want people to stroll along. I mean, I think the worst example, maybe worst is the wrong word, but one of the most colourful examples I had in my early years when I was dealing with rights away was Irish man. He was from, I think it's from Holland, bought a house in Ireland, and I won't say where, and he used to come here on holidays and just enjoy the Irish and the pub scene and the locals, and they were all very friendly until he bought a house. And when he bought a house, I mean, this has been dramatic now, but within a week or so, somebody used to open his back gate, walk along his back kind of laneway, come across the front lawn, walk down the front lawn, out through the front gate, and then out onto the public road. So he was inquiring as to what the name of God this was about, and he was told by the neighbours that there was a right of way, and that this individual was going to exercise this right of way. And this was his first introduction to rights of way in Ireland, and how contentious and how, you know, emotive they can be. I suppose we've all talked about the field and that. But yeah, no, it's very. And what's interesting actually is that we've had a lot of it over the last while, and I've had good reason to be involved in a lot of different instances of it, both public and private rights of way. You know, but I mean, the really interesting thing about it is that when they introduced, you may or may not know that very, very recently we were going to hit a deadline at the beginning of December.
Yes, you give people fair warning of that, in fact,
yeah.
John.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter, of course, is there were representations for all different kind of bodies saying, look, this isn't going to work because you haven't thought it out properly, and we need to postpone this deadline because it's going to cause all sorts of problems. And it was postponed, and now we've kicked the can down the road for another 6 years. It was kicked down the road. The whole thing started with the 2009 Act, which is a piece of legislation where it was a massive piece of legislation that was introduced in Ireland to change the kind of conveyancing practice in Ireland, you know, dealing in land and that, dealing with the various rules that were involved. And it was trying to update it. And one of the areas that it sought to update was what we call easements, which the most common examples of them would be, you know, your right to go fishing, your right to hunt, turbary yep. rights and rights of way. So this was one of the areas that they decided they were going to overhaul and simplify. And in simplifying it, they introduced a regime that basically said that if you don't register it, you're going to lose it kind of thing. So if you have a right of way, you register it, and if you register it, then you're protected. If you don't register it, you're not protected. And prior to 2009, it was very much the practice that if you were buying a house, and the auctioneer said to you, look, that you have a right way to come in that way, and you can come in the front entrance that way, etc., over Johnny's land beside you. And you'd say, okay, fine, from a conveyancing point of view, what do I need to do about that? And you get a declaration from the fellow who's selling it to you saying, look, I've used that for years and years and years, and, you know, you're entitled to use it. And you'd rely on that, and that's a bit the extent of it. But when the 2009 Act came in, that kind of threw the cat among the pigeons, because that effectively said that in order to have an effective right of way, you know, an enforceable right of way, you'd have to have it registered in the property registration authority, you know. And it also tidied up a whole load of old rules that were considered to be old rules and therefore were of no modern relevance. So it got rid of a number of different rules, which I won't bore you with, and introduced a very, very simple one, which was really that if you had used it for a period of time and you could prove you'd used it for a period of time, you had acquired a right of way, which is a right of way by literally time. So you've got it over a period of time. And then it introduced a kind of a flip side to that, i.e. that if you didn't use it for a period.
Oh, there you go. I think we've lost John. Have we lost John? Sorry, John, we lost you there for just a moment.
Maybe I disappeared.
Maybe you disappeared indeed. So you were about to say to us there that if you didn't use it for a period of time, then what would happen, John?
If you didn't use it for a period of time, you'd lose it.
Okay.
So if you used it for a period of time, you got it. If you didn't use it for a period of time, you lost it. So they introduced a very simple, straightforward mechanism whereby if you could establish the use over a period of time, you got your right of way, you'd register it in the property registration authority, and then you'd have it for all time.
And what are the periods of time involved?
12 years, basically.
12 years, okay.
Right. Yeah. So now, in fact, 6 under the Act, but it used to be 12, but we won't fight over that for the moment. But now they've deferred it, and they've now deferred it and done the old kick the can down the road scenario. So it's now kicked down the road again, because it was already kicked down the road initially. When the 2009 Act came in, you had 3 years to do it. And then they suddenly realized, God, 3 years is too short. And then they said, no, we'll make it 12. So it was then 12 years, which was this December. And then they've got 12 years later. This is really just so Irish, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not, maybe it's European as well. But 12 years later, or now 17, we're now kicking it down the road to 17 years from when the Act was first came in, which is 2009. So they're now hoping that in the intervening period, they're going to have a look at it and see what they can do with it and see if in fact, they're going to introduce the
But it must have been in just a short time ago they've decided to do that, because I was looking this up and you know, Minister Humphreys was saying it was going to clarify all of this, and that was just from last September, so...
Correct. Oh, yeah, literally, you're talking about within the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
They introduced a bill, rushed it through the Dáil, didn't get any reading per se, and it literally short-circuited everything. And literally, it was a real elastoplast job, effectively, because all the Act says is, I hereby amend section blah 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 and extend the period now for 17 years, which is adding...
And obviously, whatever they got into them changed their minds on this. So what would have changed their mind on that?
Well, you see, what would have changed their minds is that, you see, and I was thinking, trying to, you know, obviously think about this. You see, what the new Act brought in which is a change from the old regime, is that in order to kind of protect your right of way, you had to register it.
Okay.
But they made that compulsory. So therefore, it effectively meant that if somebody failed to register,
They could be in a position
that they would lose it now, because like everything else in law, as you know, from our conversations over the years, there's no black and white. But the fact of the matter is that the risk was there that if you didn't register, you'd lose it. And now everybody was up against a deadline. And a lot of people now, I mean, I got a fairly significant amount of inquiries over the last period of time about this, but just still I would have a whole huge number of people out there who wouldn't have done anything about registering it. And the really crux of it is this, and it's really interesting, because it's the interface between us as people and law and applying law, because the interesting thing about it is that in the past, if I was buying something from you and there was a right of way, you'd give me a declaration saying, John, I've used this for upwards of 12 years and therefore you're entitled to use it. And I'd take that and be happy with it, and that'd be the end of it. But with the new way of doing it, you would have to then, in fact, I would then have to go to your neighbour over which you had the right of way, if you know what I mean. So I'd have to go to your neighbour and say, can I register this, please? And it's a bit like, you know, can I, you know, the old conundrum that you often have, that developers would often have with, do I talk to the neighbour, do I not talk to the neighbour, do I lodge the application permission, or do I not lodge the application permission? Is it better to talk or not to talk? But in this situation, even though you have a declaration saying I've been using this for 12 years, you could still run into a situation where you ask the neighbour and say, well, no, he hasn't actually. No, I don't agree with that. Or who would simply object to it. Mm. And if the neighbour objects the property registration authority mechanism of registering it, automatically fell away, so you weren't able to register it. So that then left you faced, and this is what prompted the change in the legislation to stop this, because the default position then was that if you didn't get agreement with your neighbour, which, by the way, in a lot of cases you would, but if you didn't get permission with your neighbour, then you're walking into a situation where you have to apply to court for it. So the reason that it became a political issue was that you would have a huge amount of litigation flooding into the circuit court trying to prove rights away. And the interesting thing about it is that in quite a number of the cases that I would be dealing with, it isn't that people would object necessarily to the right of way, but they might say something like, well, actually, I know there's a bore in there, I know there's a clear path there, and I know you've been using it, but I don't agree that you can use it for driving a car up there. I think you only use it on foot. Or, no, I don't think you can use it for a car. I think you can only use it for a tractor. And, you know, that immediately that triggered the default, which was you had to go into court. And therein lies the reason
But, John, I mean, anybody with a modicum of IQ would have known that it would have generated that sort of response to the courts. So why did they let it go as far as it did to kick it down the road, if you know what I mean?
I don't know if I can answer that one for you. I mean, that's an eternal question that comes up. And, like, I mean, the irony of this is it's been around for such a length of time. And my own personal view of it is that they have kicked the can. And the problem, and here's where, again, like everything else, you know, sticking an elastoplast on the wound is very much dependent on how much, whether it's a scratch or whether it's more serious. See, the problem here is that, and again, I don't want to get too technical about it, but what they did was they suspended certain sections of the Act, but they allowed other sections to continue in force. So that therein lies a further problem, because under the legislation now, you can extinguish a right of way for a non-user for a period of 12 years, and that hasn't been suspended. So you're still in the scenario that you have to be very careful that if you sit there and wait for the time to elapse again, where you and I are talking hopefully 5 years from now or 6 years, whatever the period is, and we're discussing this and they've kicked it again, the problem with it is that when it actually finds its way back to the legislation, are they going to change everything, or are they going to change something small or what are they going to do? Because they dumped all of the old law, because the old law, for example, on abandonment of rights of way was very clear-cut. There had to be a very, very strict kind of proof that it was abandoned and that, you know, you couldn't just lose it just because you didn't use it for a certain period of time. There had to be an intention to abandon it. Whereas the new section is very absolutely black and white. If you haven't used it, you lose it.
Right.
Is what the
section simple says. As that. So, so it's time then to get free advice from you, John. I mean, what do you say to people out there who might want to protect a right of way or, you know, get clarity on the right? What do you say to them at this point? Should they go and get some sort of a...
Absolutely.
Whatever about this being kicked down the road, it's time to do it now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You've often heard me say it's better to do it now than later.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is that whatever about kicking it down the road, the fact of the matter is the mechanism is still there to register a right of way. So if your neighbour agrees, register it, and then you're finished with it. Because the reality of it is that if the neighbour does object, for example, and I mean, I could give you a myriad of examples where I've been dealing with these things, but if the neighbour does object to the right of way, better know it than not.
Right.
And the reality of it is that if you know that the neighbour objects and you are into a situation where there's going to be potential conflict on it, that's not going to change in 5 or 6 years' time. You're still dealing with the same scenario. Whereas if you register, that's the end of it. And if you get and there was always a very simple, straightforward registration procedure whereby, you know, the neighbour would simply not object. And this fast tracking that they've introduced is fairly efficient. I mean, you lodge an affidavit, you lodge a map shown the right of way, property registration, notify the neighbour. The neighbour doesn't object and you register. And it's very...
And tell me this, John, what if you go to your neighbour and he puts a value on your right of way and says to you, okay, you can continue to do that, but I want $5,000 off you?
Well, that's a very good question because, funny, you know, often commercial reality comes to play when you're dealing with legal issues, if you know what I mean. Because, and what I mean by that is that you might be in a situation where your neighbour, now this is a very dangerous kind of road to go down, insofar as I'm not in any way condoning that you should do this, but the reality of it is that sometimes you have to be commercial about it, insofar as if the neighbour is going to object or will consent to the registration of the right of way, you have to do your sums on it. I mean, if you go into court and contest it, you're in this situation and it's going to cost you a lot more than the figure you just mentioned. But the reality of the course is that if you go into court and the neighbour has no basis whatsoever for objecting to your right of way and it's clear cut, in those situations then they're running into the potential risk of costs against them. But then you're into it. You know, it's always an interesting conundrum.
But how do you sell a right of way, John? If you know what I mean, because you're not essentially buying a piece of land. What are you buying exactly?
Good question. What you're buying is a right over somebody else's land. And by the way, just so that we sometimes the new legislation is dealing with rights of way by prescription, basically. And rights of way by prescription are ones that you've used for a period of time and you've acquired them. Now, I won't go into there are tests, neck clam, neck beachy, neck precario. I love using all those kind of stuff, you know. But anyway, they're the three requirements that you've got to have to prove a right of way, and plus the time period. So you must... as of right is the term. But anyway, leaving that aside for a second, I mean, the reality of it is that when you're looking at a right of way, you can always do a right of way by agreement with your neighbour. So in other words, leaving all of this aside, there is many a right of way that's done by agreement. And often when you're looking at title documents, you will in fact have a registered right of way, which is on the folio.
And
it was done, yeah, exactly. It was done in writing at the time. So let's say I'm buying a piece of land from you and you're retaining a piece of land and your land is in front of mine between me and the main road. I need a right of way over your land to get to my land to build it, develop it, farm it, or whatever it is, you then would give me a formal written grant of right of way over that. And then in that scenario, you're not talking about what we're talking about here, which is the boreen that's been there for yonks and people have used it for years and years and years. That's a different scenario. So it's, you know, there's different ways of acquiring a right of way, by far the simplest way of doing it is to obviously get it in writing.
Right, and Elizabeth was on from Nina, and she's making a good point. She's looking for clarity on this. She said, just to be clear, does registering the right-of-way mean that it can be clearly seen on a map, or do you need something else?
It means it can be clearly seen on your folio and on a map, yes, because you've got to map it to register. So when you register it, you lodge a map, and that map will be on the folio. So if anybody looks at, like, if you look at the Property Registration Authority, they maintain a register, an online register. Right. If you do a search on an online register, you'll often see a yellow line running into a plot of ground, and that yellow line that you're talking about is a right-of-way. So, clearly visible.
But am I right in thinking that registration of it doesn't necessarily mean that you have jurisdiction over it?
No, registering it gives you a right of way. It gives you, right, so go back to the question.
No, but without agreement, if you know what I mean.
You won't register it without agreement.
Okay,
because
that's
if you lodge, your application, your form, like there's two kinds of documents you can lodge. You can lodge your neighbour signing a form saying, I hereby give Fran a right of way over my bit of ground. And then you lodge that plus a map and that gets registered on your title. So you have it on the title. So for anybody to see, or you, Fran, will just register because it's a boreen and it's been used for years and years and years. And you register it on the folio. You go to register on the folio. The Property Registration Authority will then notify the owner of the land because it's a right of way over land. It's not a right of ownership of land. It's a right to pass and repass over somebody else's land. So the PRA will notify the owner and say, oh, by the way, if Fran is applying to register this right of way, are you objecting? And if the person doesn't object to that, then it gets registered.
Right.
Once it gets registered, it's then protected.
Very good. Am I being cynical if I think that there's a gold standard for this in other countries as to how this can be done? Or is it complex everywhere?
It's complex everywhere. I was in the UK. I mean, we didn't get to public rights away, which I'll deal with the next time. But I was in the UK. The UK has introduced all sorts of legislation dealing with rights away, but they still have huge issues with it. I mean, listen, Fran, while there's land and while there's ownership, there's going to be issues. You know, I don't think it's anything particular to Ireland.
Well, we have questions about public rights of way, so you might deal with that next time, John, if you would. All right.
Well, of course, yeah. All right.
Always a pleasure, John. You look after yourself.
All right, Fran,
thank you.
Bye-bye
to you now. That's our solicitor there, John Lynch from Lynch Solicitors in Clonmel, speaking to us about rights of way. 26 past 11 right now. Back in a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.